Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, the first three verses there. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Now, I don't have a lot of time this morning. Because we're on TV, I got to get it down to about 23, 24, 25 minutes right in that area. So no time for a funny story about the Canadians. No time for a joke about the trolls from below the bridge. We're going to get right into the Word of God. It's springtime. Yesterday, I think we had our first official spring in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Springtime is the shortest season of the four seasons in the Upper Peninsula. About 2 weeks of muddy side roads, some melting snow banks, and then before you know it, we're going to be right into the heat of summer, you know, like 68, 70 degrees, and it's going to be so hot for everybody. It goes real quick, and it's a mentality. It's also the season of broken hearts, and I don't mean lost love. I'm talking about false springs. 68 springtimes for this Youper here. And 68 times, man, it happens every time you get sucked in. You think springtime is, it has now arrived, and then we get a blizzard the next day or some snow. And you know, even as I preach this morning, there are 10-foot high snow banks around the perimeter of our parking lot. So it's a mentality. It kind of toughens you up is what it does. Take your Bibles. You're already there. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's all stand together. Allow me to read three verses here. I'll read four verses and trust that God will get a hold of our hearts. And, you know, springtime's here and gone, and it's a short season. There's somebody we know we can trust. We're celebrating the resurrection. Amen. We're celebrating about Jesus. We have a living Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning, you can count on Him. Amen. Summer, winter, springtime, fall, it matters not. Good times, bad times, you can count on our Lord and Savior Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, he says here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Here it is. Here's the gospel. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Father in heaven, we come to you again. God, we pray for your blessing. I pray that you'd get all over this pulpit area. You'd get all over the preaching of the Word of God this morning. You'd speak to all of our hearts. May our hearts be warmed as we realize our God is a living God. And we have purpose here on this earth. I pray for that one that may be listening, watching, or viewing, or whether it's live stream or TV or listening to a radio broadcast. Lord God, I pray that one that is farthest from the truth, that one that has no understanding of the gospel, that today they'd hear the gospel and get born again. And that one that is closest to getting born again, and yet they have not yet received you, may in a step of faith, may they take Jesus as their Savior this morning, and we pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Matthew chapter 27. Turn over there quickly. Matthew and chapter 27. Start with verse 62. And then I'm going to get to chapter 28 as quickly as I can. I want to say this before I start and get into this. And here's a big thought this morning. The resurrection changes everything. Amen. It changes everything. If Jesus, the Son of God, just went to the cross and shed his blood for our sins, but he did not rise from the dead, he did not conquer the grave, then nothing changes. But the Son of God did go to Calvary's mountain. He did shed his blood for sinners, and he rose again after becoming a corpse and being taken to Joseph of Arimathea's grave, his tomb, rose again on the third day. Our Savior lives. Changes all the, makes all the difference. We don't have a graveyard religion. It's not cold, dead orthodoxy. That's not what we have, and that's not who we are. We don't worship a dead Jewish carpenter. The resurrection, what I'm preaching on this morning, is the crowning event of the gospel. It is God's amen to the shed blood for the that was made for propitiation of sins of all of mankind upon Mount Calvary. Without the resurrection, understand this, there is no gospel. Without the resurrection, he being our first fruits, he being the one that conquered the grave, I'm speaking about Jesus right now, there is no hope of eternal life. I read briefly in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 this morning. If you were to read that whole chapter, and it's likely going to be next Sunday morning's message, without the resurrection, there is no gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what separates the men from the boys, the wannabes from the real deal. Cold, dead, denominational religion from New Testament, born again, saved by grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It makes all the difference in the world. In chapter 27, and let me kind of build up to verse 62, we're going to read. Prior to this, you know the story of Calvary. Man had done his worst. Man had crucified the Son of God. The gruesomeness of Calvary and the price that was paid for all of mankind was acted out right here in this world in which we live. That gruesomeness turned to glory, the glory of the cross, at the resurrection of Jesus. After, when Jesus was dismissed his own spirit on the cross of Calvary and cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he said these words, it is finished. And he was talking about the gospel, God's plan of redemption. They took his corpse from the cross after he bled out. He's dead. They took him, Joseph of Arimathea said, I'll take him and put him in my tomb. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there for 3 days, a corpse. During those 3 days, he went to Abraham's bosom and he preached. And he led captivity captive, and that's another sermon altogether. He took those Old Testament saints, and some of them actually resurrected with him at the same time. What happened is, in the tomb, that corpse, dead, no life, its lungs filled up with air, heart began to beat again, and Jesus, in his glorified, resurrected body, got up from the grave. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to allow the disciples to come in. And we read in verse 62, let's just kind of pick it up right there. Christ gives some instructions to his disciples. We're going to end the message with that this morning. After he gives those instructions, he ascends up into glory. The Holy Spirit comes down. He told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit came, and in the upper room, the church of Jesus Christ was born. But let's backtrack just a little bit. And here we are, by the way, today, the Church of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver, that liar, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. That word error is big. That's next Sunday morning's message. Pilate said unto them, you have your watch. That Greek word is custodia. It is a Roman guard of between 4 and 16 men. For a Roman soldier to fall asleep on guard duty, he would be burned alive in his armor. So you know those men were real alert. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone. That Roman seal carried with it all of the authority and the power of the Roman Empire. He said, you seal the stone and set a watch. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. The resurrection changes everything. I got three simple points I want to make, and I'll maybe look at one more passage of scripture. I'm going to try to make this as clear as I possibly can. Because of the resurrection, I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear life. The angel said, fear not, for he is risen. Our Savior is alive. I don't fear the grave. Standing before you this morning is a sinner man, saved by grace, no righteousness of his own, just receiving the righteousness of the Son of God, our great advocate, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I put my faith in him alone, born into the Spirit of God, and one day, because Jesus rose from the dead, I too will live. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoso liveth and believeth shall never die. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because of the resurrection, because of what Jesus did for you and for me, and that he got up from the grave, because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear anything. Paul said in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 7 that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you as a New Testament believer, there's nothing you need to be afraid of. I was at a funeral earlier in the week that just a visitor, a friend of ours, classmate of my wife that died. She was born again. She went home to heaven, but what a sad funeral service. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this, no hope. Listen, there are a lot of people like this out here. And I do believe that she was born again, but her children weren't taught. They had no idea what to do. And the person that was running the funeral, I'll say a person that was running the funeral, never mentioned Jesus one time. No mention of the gospel, no mention of Calvary, no mention of the resurrection. It was a poem, a eulogy, and two country songs. You talk about a hopeless, hopeless funeral service. I left there just grieved in my heart. And on top of that, in the funeral home, three people, you count them, I counted them, three people came up to me, shook my hand and said, Pastor Rader, I've heard you've retired. I said, are you kidding me? I said, that's not right. That's a rumor. That's what happens when you listen to just sound bites off of the internet. That's what it was. And a final guy came up to me, and he was actually the preacher there in town, and said, so I've heard you've retired. I said, no way, I've not retired. I'm starting to get a little bit mad now. And he said, I just want you to know, that's the hot rumor in Pickford right now, that you've retired and Josh has taken over. And I had to, you talk about a hopeless funeral. Man, I just felt there, I left totally defeated. And like he said this, he said, you're not going to retire, are you? And I said, I'm going to retire when they pry my cold, dead fingers off of that pulpit. That's kind of the way well, there's too much to be done. And then yesterday, what a contrast in funerals. Man, place was almost full. It was almost this crowd, really close. There were cars parked out on the highway. And man, and the hope is Jesus. And he was exalted. And we rejoiced in the life that God gave Rich and Rich and Anita together, and how they God had blessed their family and all of their friends and all of their roots in the community. And all these people came out. And I was able to stand up when it was all said and done and preach the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And man, and I'm told afterwards, people that counted it on the internet, there were 14 or 15 God bless yous in the altar call. Or after I prayed the sinner's prayer, God bless you. Look this way if you prayed. God bless you. God bless you. But what they didn't know is some of those God bless yous were a whole groups of people. So there was not just 14 professions of faith yesterday. It probably was closer to 40. And what a difference. What a contrast. What a difference Jesus makes. Rich went home to heaven a little over a week ago now. And I want to tell you, he's in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Rich is right now more alive than he ever was here in this earth. That's because we have a living Savior who conquered the grave. You don't have to fear life. You don't have to fear death. and you can enjoy the life. My cup runneth over. Same psalm, Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, I can enjoy life. I can enjoy life and enjoy the journey. I love life, and I love life because I love Jesus, and I love Jesus because of all that he has done for me. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and might have it more abundant. So as a child of God, first of all, you get born again. You become a child of God. You don't have to fear the grave, and you don't have to fear life. After you get born again, man, you've got Jesus, and he has promised eternal life if we'll just follow him, if we'll just obey him. If you're here and you've never been born again, come to Christ. If you're here watching this broadcast and you have been born again and your life is unfulfilled, I'm telling you, God intends for you to enjoy life. You'll only enjoy life if you are obedient to him. So you don't have to be afraid. I don't care who's in government, who's in control. I don't care what nation you live in. It doesn't matter what age you're living in, what year it is, what century. It matters not. Jesus Christ has met every need that you have at Calvary and then rising from the dead. You just need to turn to him. Don't be afraid. Number two, we're going to live forever. Look what it says in verse 6 of Matthew in chapter 28. He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And you talk about mixed emotions. The Jesus that they serve has conquered the grave. The angel has told them he's alive. He is not here. Jesus himself said in John 14 and verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. Take your Bibles very quickly, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. I guess so. I think that's probably an understatement. Verse 38 says, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Now, I'm a foodie, and all of you people that come to Fundamental, you know that. And it just blesses my heart to no end to know that Jesus, in his glorified body, he said, touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh, and a spirit doesn't have bones. And he says, do you have anything to eat? And they ate together. And they broke bread together. Man, we're going to be able to eat in our glorified bodies. And I'm glad for that, because I'm to the place in my life, being an old man, where I don't get to eat everything I want to eat. I get home to heaven, I'm looking forward to potato chips. And I'm looking forward to pizza. I'm looking forward to cheeseburgers. There's a lot I am looking forward to. And that's a very small part of heaven. But I do know this. I don't know all of the details for sure, but I do know in our glorified bodies, we are going to be able to eat. In verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And all of a sudden, Jesus in their midst, everything makes sense. You see, the resurrection changes everything. All of a sudden, the gospel made sense. All of a sudden, 2 + 2 = 4. Take your Bibles and go back to Matthew chapter 28 now, very quickly. Matthew and chapter 28. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to live forever. That's the promise of God. Now, the final verses of this chapter, verses 16 through 20, tells us that we have great purpose on this earth. Jesus said, you'll be endued with power from on high. You go and you wait in Jerusalem. My church is going to be born. The bride of Christ. A whole new age is going to be opened up. I'm going to open doors that no man can shut. No man. And you just be obedient and be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Look what it says in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. He said, what do you mean they doubted? Like you and I, sometimes good things happen and we think, man, this is too good to be true. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus? He had conquered the grave. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. This is referred to as the Great Commission. The Great Commission, these are words of Jesus spoken to the church of Jesus Christ, are recorded five times in the Word of God. Right here in the Gospel of Matthew, in Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15, Luke in chapter 24, John in chapter 2, and Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus directly gives a command to the church of Jesus Christ. He said, man, the gospel's not static. You and I are not here to make money. In the year 2025, you and I are not here to become powerful or popular. We are not here to build a life so that we can be comfortable. We are here for one reason. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread throughout the 8 billion people that are on this planet, so that they might have opportunity to be born into the family of God. We lose sight of that sometimes. And it's a smokescreen by the devil himself to cause his people, God's people, to lose sight of why we are really here. We've enlarged this auditorium. It seats 600 people. It isn't enough to fill it up one time a week. We have got to get to the place and this end of the Upper Peninsula where it's filled up three times a week. Man, we're on TV this morning. That's an amazing thing all in of itself. And I have a hard time believing it myself. And we're at four different stations. But that's not what we're... It's all about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out to everyone who will listen. Amen. Let give everybody opportunity to be born into the family of God. Amen. And I would tell you, I wouldn't give spit to a ministry that does not preach the gospel. Amen. And sees people born again. And if you're a soul winner... If you're not a soul winner, you're born again and not a soul winner, you are not in the will of God. That's right. We need to evangelize, we need to baptize, and we need to grow people in Christ. That's what the Great Commission is. The gospel is not static. We are here on purpose. And it's the resurrection that changes everything. Man, it isn't denominationalism. It isn't cold religion. That is not what it's about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, we ourselves getting born again. Second of all, starting to following God in baptism, our Lord in baptism, believers' baptism. And then after that, growing and getting other people to get born again and follow the Lord in the waters of baptism and to grow in grace and to keep on spreading it. That is what we are going to do, and that is what we are called to do. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And the truth is, the resurrection, it changes everything.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of sand. My salvation. On Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
Our Father, we pray that the Word of God is gripping hearts this morning. God, we pray for souls. God, we pray for those that aren't born again and need Jesus as their Savior. God, save them today. Please, may they call out to you. If you're here today in the auditorium or you're watching and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the gospel is simple. The Son of God came to this earth. It's his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He paid for our sin. If you've never trusted him, I invite you to him today. Just pray right along with me right now if you want to get saved. It's got to be from the heart because it's a heart thing. It's not a ritual. It's not a chant. It's not just repeating empty words. It's from your heart. Just pray like this, wherever you might be. God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I deserve to go to hell. Please forgive me of all my sins. Oh God, come into my heart and be my forever Savior. Jesus, I'm trusting you alone for heaven, the best way I know how. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you've got to tell somebody you got born again. If you're here this morning, you prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus in your heart, you've got to tell somebody.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.